Do you remember our four episodes about the depopulation agenda? Well, multiply that by 10, and what you get is the COVID plandemic. Planned years in advance and worked out to the smallest details. As always, the Cabal warned us years in advance. They seem to believe these wards of karma. Let's be honest, everything they do is always in our face. Here are a few COVID-related examples. Cabal Pit Hollywood gave us 7 movies and series, showing us some terrifying scenarios of killer viruses outbreaks. Bill Gates produced and co-financed one of his own, Pandemic, How to Prevent an Outbreak, about the possibility of a killer flu virus outbreak and the development of a universal vaccine. Excellent timing, Bill. Produced long before the COVID-19 outbreak. All 6 episodes were released on January 22, 2020. Then there were 2 simulations of a coronavirus outbreak, one in Wuhan, China, of all places, focused on the role of customs to respond accurately to incoming bioweapon attacks, and one in New York, focused on the importance of communication during a coronavirus outbreak, financed by Bill Gates. Do you remember the opening ceremony of the Olympic Games in London 2012? Why on earth show dancing nurses and doctors? Children in hospital beds. Scary demons spreading like a virus. Zombie-like healthcare workers. Terrified children. Death. Why show the NHS? Why all the subliminal messages during the closing ceremony about anger, death, rage, and the end of the world? Can anybody please explain to us what any of this has to do with sports? With the Olympic Games? Who could have known back then that their so-called artistic show was actually an appalling glimpse into our future? We can never say we didn't know. We were warned all along, just like they've already warned us about the next outbreak.
You know, we'll have to prepare for the next one. That, you know, I'd say is, will get attention this time.
Basically, the so-called COVID-19 pandemic was a huge global behavioral experiment, the biggest ever performed in the history of mankind. It was a test to see if we, the people, were ready to be enslaved. The Cabal used a variety of torture methods, as described in the Amnesty International report on torture. But hardly anybody even realized they were being tortured. What methods were used? All of them. All 8 methods to make the people submit, to break them. The breaking of their will is intended to destroy their humanity. Here we go. Number 1. Isolation. Not just of individuals, but also of groups of people. Why? In order to make people feel lonely, to deprive them of social support, and to make people dependent on their oppressor. Number 2. Monopolization of perception. In other words, the oppressor fully decides how you perceive or experience reality. For instance, by abolishing information that contradicts the official narrative, by punishing any form of resistance or independence, by putting blame on people. Why? In order to brainwash people into thinking there is an immediate threat, to frustrate all actions that could lead to disobedience, and to make people believe they are at fault. Number 3. Induce debilitation and exhaustion. In other words, to make you weak. For instance, by sleep deprivation due to fear or anxiety. By withholding essential items like food and medicine. And by constant questioning. Why? When people are mentally and physically weakened, they will lack the strength to resist. Number 4. Threats. Threats about people getting killed, their families, their pets. Threats to separate families. Threats of endless isolation. Threats of becoming outcasts, non-citizens. Why? To create anxiety and despair. Number 5. Occasional indulgences. Think occasional favors, promises, and rewards for compliance. Why? To motivate people to comply. Number 6. Demonstrating omnipotence by means of confrontation, physical assaults, by demonstrating complete control over people's fate. And by treating people like servants. Why? To create fear and submission, and to suggest resistance is futile.
Now we need to go to community by community, neighborhood by neighborhood, and oftentimes door to door.
We doen wijk voor wijk, deur voor deur, arm voor arm.
These teams are not just knocking on doors anymore. They're actually carrying Eskies and vaccinating at the door. They're seeing how many people in that household, and they're vaccinating everyone who's eligible in that home while they knock on that door.
Are you going to be going suburb to suburb, street to street, door to door, knocking on these and actively looking for people who are in the wrong house and finding them on the spot?
Yeah, look, absolutely. Over.
Number 7. Degradation. By putting people down, by verbally abusing, humiliating and shaming people in public, by demeaning punishments, and by denial of privacy.
Put your mask on.
Get away from
put
me.
Put it on.
Freedom. Stop it.
Whoa, whoa. Whoa.
Why? To destroy people's self-esteem, to make the cost of resistance more damaging to people's self-esteem than compliance. Number 8. Enforcing trivial demands by playing mind games. By punishing obedient people for being disobedient. And by continuously changing the rules without clear communication. Why? In order to confuse people, to create anxiety, and to make them submit completely.
Warum haben manchmal die Gaststätten um 22 Uhr schließen müssen? Ist denn das Virus erst nach 22 Uhr ansteckend und so? Ja, also vollkommen irrsinnige und widersprüchliche Maßnahmen. Der Wahnsinn ist eigentlich, dass sich dahinter Methode versteckt. Ja, das ist nämlich eine Foltermethode, die Leute total zu verwirren, in Unsicherheit zu stürzen, völlig im Ungewissen zu lassen, auch die gesamte Lebensführung zu stören. Niemand von uns kann ja noch planen oder eine normale Lebensführung gestalten. Und da habe ich also sehr viel Material drüber gefunden, über diese Methode, die interessanterweise in China entwickelt wurde. Also die Amerikaner haben das an Kriegsgefangenen festgestellt aus Korea, die dort von Chinesen befragt worden waren, dass diese Kriegsgefangenen also permanent mit widersprüchlichen Maßnahmen behelligt wurden und dass sie sich nie sicher fühlen konnten, ob sie jetzt alles richtig machen oder nicht. Ja? Und dass es auch manchmal sogenannte Lockerungen gab, die gehören auch zu diesem Spiel, weil man sich dann also nicht so sehr an diese ganzen Maßnahmen gewöhnt, damit sie noch wirken, damit man nicht abstumpft sozusagen. Ja, und dann werden die Zügel wieder angezogen. Also was Söder hier macht oder Merkel oder diese Leute, das ist kein Zufall, sondern das ist, sie versuchen einfach die Psyche der Menschen zu zerstören, aus meiner Sicht.
What else should you know about torture? Torture is meant to create stress. Any event that threatens to change the stability of people's well-being, environmental, physical, mental or emotional, is stressful. Why is this important? Because this is precisely what our governments and so-called health institutions have been inflicting systematically upon humanity. Stress. Stress not only affects your immune system, making you extra vulnerable to diseases. It also generates anxiety, which triggers the inability to think straight, to remain calm, logical, and rational. That's why people stopped seeing how insane the COVID rules and regulations truly were. You cannot blame them. Please stop calling them sheep, for truly, they are victims of torture. They have been suppressed, humiliated, brainwashed, and broken. When acute stress becomes chronic stress by the intentional systematic weakening of people, people develop feelings of pessimism and depression. But when people who are in a state of chronic stress and anxiety suddenly are exposed to acute stress, for instance, the unexpected positive outcome of a test resulting in mandatory quarantine, something strange happens. Chronic stress plus acute stress causes a condition of total denial. Those people will appear to switch off all awareness. They will look bland and untroubled, as if the mind, being too overstimulated, blew a fuse. They will completely give up, give in, comply. So yes, this is true. It wasn't the virus that destroyed the economy. It was you complying with tyranny. But can we blame them? Now that we know they had been systematically tortured for a long period of time, and they just acted like most people under those circumstances would do? This is why people comply to the most insane rules. And even when you pointed this out to them, they would look at you like you were from another planet. In Spain, people were forced to wear a mask outdoors, but not in the Netherlands, where, for some mysterious reason, the virus never left the house. At least not until months later, and only in certain places. A hairdresser was allowed to go to a physiotherapist, but the physiotherapist was not allowed to go to the hairdresser. Our torturers, the governments, had confused people to the point that their minds had blown a fuse. Therefore, they complied. As soon as the media shouted off the rooftops that borders had been closed, people stopped traveling. True, at the beginning, and in some countries, enforcements were strict. But after a while, upon learning that we, the people, complied beautifully in this great behavioral experiment, enforcements were no longer necessary. In the Netherlands, there were never any checkup points. Not even at the beginning. People stopped traveling, just like that. They didn't even try anymore. We did try, time and again. We drove from the Netherlands to Germany and Belgium and back again. No problem at all. It was just a narrative. It was a lie. At the time of curfews in every European country, we left the Netherlands for good, and we drove all the way through Belgium, France, and Spain. We drove in the middle of the night on empty highways. There were no checkup points. Not at the borders, nor at the toll gates. It was all a lie. The police didn't have to do anything, because the people obeyed the rules, no matter how insane. It seemed to be crystal clear to people that curfews were highly efficient when it comes to restraining a killer virus. In the Netherlands, at 9 p.m. sharp, for some reason the virus became super aggressive, so everybody had to stay indoors. Safe at 1 minute to 9, in mortal danger at 9 sharp. Except, of course, when you live just across the border in Belgium. There you were safe until midnight. COVID-19 was not to be underestimated. It was highly intelligent and could obviously tell time. Not only that, it understood and acknowledged country borders. And it seemed to like alcohol. And so, the sales of wine, beer and spirits was only allowed until 8 p.m. sharp. God knows why. We asked countless shop owners and police officers if they understood the logic behind these new rules, but no one could. All we heard was, "It's the law." When we pointed out that the genocide on the Jewish people in World War II was lawful too, and so, not all laws are good, people got angry. Together we can beat COVID-19. The slogan was to become the new Heil Hitler. But most people didn't see it, as a result of continuously being tortured into obedience by their suppressors. Why do some people respond differently? Why can they handle continuous stress better than others, so they do not comply no matter what? People are wired differently. Some have experienced grave physical or emotional pain in their lives, which makes them not easily impressed. They simply do not experience the COVID torture as particularly stressful, as they've had worse. Others are more mentally focused than emotionally. They will see through the lies and threats more easily than others, and therefore they will not experience anxiety to the extent most people do. And then, of course, there are those who live off the grid, in remote areas. People who do not watch TV and who do not read mainstream newspapers. Those people, too, are difficult to brainwash. Most people had no idea they were being tortured. After all, there wasn't any waterboarding or the cutting of fingers, right? True. But it was still torture, by definition. And as we know by now, most people complied. The ones who did not comply were corrected by the obedient ones. They were ridiculed, shamed and blamed, and turned into outcasts. The mainstream media spread lie after lie after lie. Photos from one hospital were used for other places, other countries. Crisis actors were deployed, as shown in part 21.
I got the vaccine. I probably wouldn't be in this mess, so yeah, get the vaccine.
Entire crisis scenarios were staged to deceive the people and spark their fear. COVID-19 was not a killer virus. It was a fraud. The mainstream media was the virus. Without its help, it would never have worked. It simply got to the point where people had been successfully tortured and brainwashed. Taken over, so to speak. When the CDC finally admitted the nose swabs had been used for genomic sequencing, it was too late. When the German health minister stated the COVID restrictions for the unvaccinated had been based on a software error, it was too late. When a German hospital director took his own life because he couldn't live with the lies anymore, it was too late. It didn't matter anymore that Moderna openly admitted people were being vaccinated with an operating system. Nor that Pfizer, Moderna, Johnson & Johnson and AstraZeneca all had criminal histories. It didn't seem to matter anymore that both Moderna and Johnson & Johnson had no past track records making vaccines. Nobody seemed to be listening when scientific evidence was presented that all the so-called vaccines contained HIV. And that many vaccinated people suddenly had become magnetic. Where was the outrage when the official numbers showed us that more people had died from the COVID jab in the first 3 months of 2021 than of all vaccines of the past 30 years combined? There was no outrage, except, of course, amongst the dissidents. Nobody else seemed to notice or care about the countless scandals. Moderna knew about hundreds of thousands of injuries as a result of their product, but kept their mouths shut. Pfizer paid the US Department of Treasury $2.9 million to, well, probably to make sure that their vaccine safety data would be kept a secret by the FDA for 75 years. We're talking thousands of pages of documents the FDA relied on to license the Pfizer vaccine. The FDA simply refused to share them with the public. Nobody seemed to notice when, in yet another court case, in which a federal judge ruled the FDA got 8 months instead of 75 years to make Pfizer's vaccine safety data available to the public, that Pfizer frantically tried to intervene and changed the outcome. When Pfizer finally released a list of adverse reactions to their monstrosity of a product, it contained 1,291 illnesses, many of which severe, even lethal. But where was the outrage? People have been tortured and brainwashed to the point of lining up for yet another shot and a booster. The ingredient list of the Johnson & Johnson jab turned out to be huge and, well, blank. Still, people held out their arms. Voluntarily, yes, but not with informed consent. Nobody was ever informed. When EU Parliament members demanded to see the official contract between the vaccine-producing companies and the EU, all they got was censorship.
We have all these treaties, as my colleague said, that no medical treatment should be imposed on you unless you decide about it freely and under informed consent. Ask your own government, were you properly informed about what is going on? We demanded full access to the contracts signed between these companies that produce the vaccines and the European Union. And I will just show you the pages. These are the pages. You see? So this is the fundamental principle, right, of democracy. I'm asking you guys, is this transparency? Do you see anything? Because we don't.
Nobody seemed to find it strange that people of importance, royal families, diplomats, heads of state, and highly placed politicians were exempt from face masks, nose swabs, PCR tests, and vaccinations. Oh, some of them did play along in front of the cameras, but all you had to do was zoom in to see it was all fake. It didn't matter anymore. It was too late. When people started dying of the jab, not one insurance company paid compensation. They simply stated that when you hold out your arm to receive the jab, knowing it's an experimental one, after all, you could have known the dangers if only you had done your homework, it made your death a suicide by definition. The court recognizes the classification of the insurer who, in view of the announced side effects, including death, legally regards participation in the Phase 3 experiment, whose proven harmlessness is not given, as voluntarily taking a fatal risk that is not covered by the contract and legally recognized as suicide. The producers of the jabs could not be held accountable. They were exempt by law. The people had been paralyzed by constant fear and constant stress. They could not hear the truth anymore when top physicians and ex-CEOs of big pharma companies stepped forward and blew the lid off the various missing cases fraud. When they explained that only 1% of adverse reactions or deaths were being reported. When more and more severe cases of fraud were exposed. When the real efficacy of the jabs turned out to be only 1%, as our bribed specialists had concealed the difference between absolute risk reduction and relative risk reduction, meaning one still has a 99% chance of catching COVID after being vaccinated, so why bother at all? And please let's not forget, we're talking a 1% risk reduction for a virus with an overall survival rate of 99.86%. When the dissidents showed the people that the definition of vaccine had been quietly changed in order to make bioweapons look like vaccines. When certified scientists showed the presence of Morgellons, of unknown nanoparticles, and of graphene oxide that turns you into a superconductor for electromagnetic frequencies, which basically means that you become a product. And a great big antenna for any kind of dangerous radiation. It was too late. When all the prominent virologists bluntly stated they were convinced everybody who took the jab would die between now and 2 to 3 years max. as they explained in layman's terms about antibody-dependent enhancement and the fact that your body will no longer recognize foreign invaders like other viruses, destroying your own immune system so that it will eventually attack you and kill you, it was too late. This deliberate design torture program had turned out to be a massive success. Do you want to know what happened next? Then follow me to part 26.